To another fabulous edition of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Pointing a finger at scumbags and pointing out their scumbaggery, broadcasting live from New Zealand, live from the future, from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland in the island-chained nation in the slave South Pacific, soaking up the extra UV rays from the hole in the ozone layer, which incidentally makes the cannabis grow a lot stronger in rural areas, but it's New Zealand, yes! And we have a very special colonial guest for y'all tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Coming at us live from the Uber Kingdom, his name is Phil Haynes from dayofkindness.co.uk. Phil, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, you know, I think every one of us in our respective slave to the crown nations needs to be talking together and linking up in some way, shape or form so we can be hunted down as one. Now, I wanted to just kind of get you to explain to myself and, of course, the audience a little bit about yourself, particularly for those who've never heard of you.
My background is really working class, or what we would call working class, in Birmingham, England. I've no connection to anything royal or anything like that. Just a fairly normal, boring background, and I just spent my life like a lot of people do. You know, you go to work and come back and get drunk and do different things when you're younger, but always had a nagging feeling that something wasn't quite right. And I suppose it was 1995, I was working for a car dealer and I was doing all right financially and everything, but something just would not leave me alone. There was something nagging at me and I ignored that for another 6 years. And then suddenly, probably January, February 2001, I don't know what it was. It still can't be explained very easy now. I just really woke up one day. I had a little business with two friends and I was still doing that business then at the time. And you probably had the feeling yourself, Vinny. I just knew the world we're living in wasn't quite how it appeared to be. And for all those times of ignoring it, I just couldn't anymore, you know, and it became too strong. And I started to really delve into all kinds of stuff, you know.
Well, hold on a second here, because when we talk to activists or authors or some people who actually try to, you know, do something with their life, something happens to them. There's usually some description of event, often traumatic, that kind of jolts people out of their everyday life and forces them to lay into some other area. Was there something that happened to you?
I don't think there was anything particularly big. I know at the time I was in business with two friends who remained friends, and we had our issues and problems that were happening there that kind of got me down at the time, because, you know, we were old friends first, but, you know, we're still friends. And I don't think there was any one big thing. It was sort of something nagging at me, constantly always nagging at me. And I'd started to have a look into just very simple stuff to do with frequencies, a little bit of quantum physics, I suppose, in my own spare time in between working. And I think probably the big thing that happened for a lot of people, I've been doing about probably 6 or 7 months of looking into stuff. A couple of guys who I know said, "Have a read of this book. It sounds like you'll want to read it." We couldn't. And I think it was actually one of the early David Icke books, I think it was. And I read some of that and thought, well, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that makes sense in there. Not all of it did, but some of it did. And then the big thing happened, didn't it, in New York, in you know, just over a year ago, And I suppose for a lot of people, it probably shocked a lot of people. It obviously did. But for what I'd started to do for those few months, it sort of shocked me then. It sort of thought, I've been thinking something isn't right, and that doesn't look right to me. And still I ignored it a little bit because, you know, you think, well, I've got to keep going on with my business and, you know, all the usual things of normal, what we think's normal life. And eventually I was away from the company. I worked for myself, but really couldn't operate very well. You know, I just couldn't really operate very well. Working life was, it just didn't make any sense anymore. And my studying and delving into all kinds of things just kept going. And it built up and built up, I suppose. You know, she's my wife now. We've been together for years, but I must have driven mad. Absolutely mad. And you know, I still probably do now, you know, because I'm always looking into things and, you know, trying to find out something about me, but also something about what's really happening out there, you know. And it's changed a lot now. When I first started to talk to friends, they really didn't want to know, you know, they just thought I was going mad. And I had my oldest friend got in touch with my wife, we've been friends since we were kids, and said, genuinely, I'm very worried about Phil. I want him to see somebody, maybe a psychiatrist, because he's coming out with stuff. It just doesn't make any sense. Within less than 2 years of that, he was saying to me, Phil, how do you know what's going on there? What is it? I saw it on the telly. You were on about this a year ago. It wasn't, I was, you know, no profit or anything like that. It's only from reading stuff and cross-referencing and watching. And after a while, you start to see patterns in the way things are done. It all becomes so obvious the way it gets reported. You know, you've got it yourself, Vinny. You'll see something and go, my God, what they're telling me now. You know, what a load of rubbish, you know. And it was like that.
Well, you know what? It comes to the point where you begin to assume things and you become quite cynical, right? And the worst part about it is that you notice that most of the time, your assumptions and your cynicism is correct.
Yes, it's sad, really. It's horrible, really. But the bizarre thing still at the time, the people who were closest to you, like your pals and like your closest person, who at the time was my girlfriend, my wife, and still not taking any notice. And obviously, lots of people must have this. And you might overdo it at the time. You probably say too much. But the only thing you can think of is it's the one I love, and she's closest to me, and I've got to tell you. You know, I want to tell you these things. I need to help. But, you know, the X Factor's on. Or have you got X Factor in New Zealand? I'm sure you probably have. Or your Pop Idol,
oh, yeah,
all those sort of things, you know?
How many different brands of those shows there are? The very first type of show where they would get on a whole bunch of people and create a band out of nothing sort of thing was called Pop Stars, and that was created in a little old country called New Zealand. And ever since then, every other country in the world has shared our pain.
I didn't realise it was in New Zealand, you know. How dare you? It was, I don't know. You can be a bit too harsh about TV sometimes, I suppose. There's nothing wrong with watching a bit of TV, having a bit of fun. But it all becomes, it just takes over, and it's just so formulated, and just, it's terrible, isn't it? You know, it's all absolutely awful. It's on sometimes, and I'll walk in, and I will just wonder how can you watch it? How can you watch it? But then, you know, that's life, isn't it? It's no good getting too upset about it. I think at some point, everybody's going to kind of get it, aren't they? At some point, most of us are going to see something and know it. It's just, you know, we're all gradually on our way there finding out. And, I mean, I did a little talk tonight, which seemed to go quite well. And there's one person who was really, really not seeing anything, and two people who were sort of trying to help her to see it, but she just didn't want to see anything that was being said. But, you know, the other people in there were sort of, I hadn't thought of it like, you know, certain things that were being talked about, I hadn't thought of it like that. Yeah, that's amazing, you know. And even little things that that just become obvious to yourself, you know. You watched, we touched on 9/11, which was always going to get touched on. And it was the fact that three towers fell from two aeroplanes, steel buildings that have never fallen before. And there's one lady in there I've known for quite a few years, not well, but a day of kindness event she goes to and takes part. She said, well, two aeroplanes at buildings, what's so wrong about that? That's absolutely normal. And a guy sat behind her said, I must help Phil out here. Did you see Building 7 standing behind the reporter when she was telling you that it had fallen down? And this lady, who'd be in her 50s, I would say early 50s, very nice lady and, you know, intelligent. I had no idea at all. Not one. I had no idea at all that had actually taken place. And that amazes me that, you know, it's so easy to find. I was trying to tell people, if you're not looking, if you're not with me on what I'm saying and what's being said in this room, just tomorrow, no problem, disagree, but tomorrow, pop on the internet, just click on a few things and you'll find out so much stuff in a few minutes. It's so easy to find. I mean, there's some disinformation out there, but it's very easy to find.
The internet the internet's basically brought the libraries of the world into our living rooms kind of thing. It's like we've got direct access to all knowledge right now.
We have. And like everything, I mean, I talk a little bit about duality and the fact that in our level, there's always going to be good and bad, otherwise you won't know one from the other. And the internet brings both to you. And even if you want to do some research, you know, you can, I mean, after a while, you might be the same. I can look at it and think, that doesn't fit very easy with me. That doesn't sound right. If it looks like disinformation or something that's a load of rubbish, but it brings so much information. And then I think what I tended to do years ago, and I still do it now, when I was finding information, I didn't just accept it. I'd want to cross-reference it with something. So I'd go and find a book, or I'd go and look at something that might have been from 20 years before, and you can look at it and think, wow, this backs this up perfectly. And, you know, I tell people not to just take my word for it. And if you don't agree with what I'm saying, that's fine. It doesn't matter about agreeing. Go and have a look before you say, no way. Go and have a look. And I think people are a little bit more now. I mean, Day of Kindness, the first year I did Day of Kindness was 2005. And it was just me walking down the high
street. Let's talk about Day of Kindness. What actually is it?
The idea of the event was based upon years of me looking into things and wondering, how can I affect a lot of people without dictating or trying to make it look like I'm trying to convert people to something, because that was never the intention. What's the thing I could do that would everybody could possibly understand? And the thing I thought was kindness. You know, you know, some of the people we sometimes consider to not be very nice in our lives all want kindness and even still give kindness, so we all understand kindness. So I thought, well, that's what I've got to use. And I mean, the other thing I looked at was, you know, the inside or the outside world, I don't know if you agree with this, is a reflection of our interior worlds. So all our thoughts and feelings are constantly out there, you know, manifesting. You know, if there isn't anything you've got in your room there at the moment that wasn't thought of, it had to be thought of before we could make it. Relationships are based upon feelings. Both are invisible. So therefore, for me, even then, back in 2005, the fact for me was that the outside world is no more than the result of the unseen world. Couldn't get that across to a lot of people at the time, so that didn't matter. Because if there was a little bit more kindness, it opened the door to a little bit more understanding and then a chance for a bit of transformation. Whether anybody understood it or not, where it was really coming from, more kindness would result in more kindness outside and perhaps create an energy that would help us. You know, again, but not being any prophet or anything like that, the things that we can see happening now, I've been reading about them and cross-referencing them and looking at them and thinking, we've got to do something about this, but nobody seems to want to know. So how do you do it? You've got to do it in such a way that perhaps they don't even realise it, but they will do, because, you know, if you when you give yourself freely, you always feel better for it than when you receive something. It's just a thing that's inside of us, our natural core, at our core. I do believe genuinely that we are actually love. We are actually love and kindness and happiness, because the proof of it is when we do something nice, we enjoy it, we like it. Often when we say something or do something we don't feel very happy about, we feel really bad about it. So that's proof for me, that is. We are really, at our core, nice. We're not. Human nature isn't nasty or evil. It's just part of the programming that we've taken on board and we keep living out every day. So, you know, that's where it came from. It took a while for it to really catch on, which I wasn't surprised about, really, because a lot of people who talked to me about it initially were sort of like, what are you talking about, a day of kindness? Just stupid, you know, just, it's daft. And I stuck with it, and in the first year it was literally me walking up and down Bromsgrove pedestrianised high street, talking to people. Local radio station Hereford and Worcester came and had a chat with me and the high street, which was nice. And then one shop owner gave me a cup of tea and said, thanks for having a go, I appreciate it. I thought, well, that was nice. That was lovely. Thanks for that. And a couple of pals of mine said, you won't do that again, will you? You look like a loony. And I said, no, actually, I'm going to do it again next year. And the second year wasn't much bigger. We had one guy in this country. We got a thing called Best Of, which promotes local business in areas. And this guy's Best Of Bromsgrove. And I didn't know him at the time. And he said, I like what you're doing. Can I come and join you? I said, you certainly can. But, you know, it's just me. So, you know, don't expect anything amazing to be happening just at the moment. So me and this guy did a bit on the day and radio came again. The third year is where it really started to make a change because I moved house and my next door neighbours come around and said, you're the guy who does Day of Kindness, aren't you? And they said, you're looking to make it bigger. And I said, yeah, yeah, it's got to get, I've got to grow it. It's got to do a lot of things. And I could tell you a lot about why I do it, but it's really got to grow. And they said, well, we're involved in the Smiles Foundation. We try to, you know, make the lives of the orphans in Romania a bit better. And, you know, we go across and, you know, it's really saddening what's going on over there and we want to help them. Could we join our day, your day, with the Smiles Foundation? And I said, yeah, I think there's no problem with that. Well, we held a Day of Kindness also in a place called Shihei, I think it's called, in Romania, where they were building a place for the orphans to, you know, get medication because a lot of these kids were dying. And they flew over a Romanian children's choir and we had a bit of a concert. We had them performing on the high street. BBC Midlands Today turned up, which was great, and they filmed us doing kind deeds for people on the street and the children performing. And that was probably the year where it started to kick off and some notice got taken. It hasn't really made it hugely big as yet, but the aim is to get there.
And well, you know, that's the thing. Don't wait around until you can get something done perfectly and exactly how you want to see it. Just start doing it anyway, and eventually it'll get better and become precisely what you want it to be, because everyone ends up exactly where they deserve to be. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My special guest is Phil Haynes from dayofkindness.co.uk. We'll be right back.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
You're listening to the future of talk. American Freedom Radio. This is American Freedom Radio.
Listen to the Ron Paul Revolution Radio Show with Rossi and Brocky. Join the revolution on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, 3 to 5 p.m. Central, and only on American Freedom Radio.
We're gonna make love. You know how I know? Because it's Wednesday, and Wednesday night is the night that we usually make love. It's because it's when everything is just right. There's nothing good on TV. You haven't had your social netball team practice, so you're not too tired. Oh yeah, sounds like it's all on. You say something to me like, I might go to bed, I've got work in the morning. But I know what you mean. You mean, oh yeah, it's business time. It's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
That's what you mean. You mean it's business time.
It's business. It's business time.
Welcome back.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome back to the deeply sexual Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, tie me down in the bed sport kind of .com. My very special guest today is Phil Haynes, coming us live from the Uber Kingdom from the Day of Kindness. And I wanted to share an experience with you, if I may, Phil.
Yeah, no problem.
Every now and again, and I'll go down the central city. You know, generally, I don't like it because it's full of scum. So, when I do, I usually have some description of mad smile and grinningness on my face, and I try to make eye contact with people as I'm walking down the street. And at least half or more will acknowledge the eye contact and smile back. Some people will not even lift their head to even notice that somebody was smiling at them. And I think that this kind of permeates, let's say if lots and lots of people were doing that. Let's say if people were doing it, say, every day down the street, and you couldn't walk down the street without somebody smiling at you. Now, would that really freak people out? Why is everybody smiling at me? Or would they just go, you know what? Life ain't that crap after all.
I think the latter. I think there will be a few people who will be a bit taken aback by it, because obviously we do, on Day of Kindness, similar things happened. I think, but I do believe that people are becoming a little bit more open. I mean, in my road that I live in Bromsgrove, I always do that. I walk down, say good morning to people, hello to people. And I consciously make myself aware of what's happening because of what I'm doing. And I can honestly say to you that the uptake on it is miles better than it was just 5-6 years ago. More people want to smile back. At first, the faces are low, you know, or they're just, it's weird for them, but, you know, hello, and suddenly it's, oh, hello, 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 and they're amazed, but, and now, it just seems a lot easier. There's something, as much as there's so much not so nice going on. There's a lot of nice going on as well, I think. You know, there's something happening there. Because that is absolutely true. I do a thing, I'm not traditionally religious in any way at all, but something I do at Christmas time in the high street in Bromsgrove, I write a load of cards and I just put little messages in them, and little messages to try and get people thinking a bit, and you know, how many Christmases are you expecting to get? Make the most of this one, get together with friends, you know, little things like that, make them think. And I hand them out to people in the street, and again, I've been doing that for a good few years now, and the first year or two, really difficult. I mean, it's so difficult to get someone to take a card off you. I mean, you just, they say, what is this? So, what's a Christmas card? Merry Christmas. And it just completely blew them away. They didn't know. They had no idea. They're just foreign to them. Now, hopefully it'll be the same this year, but the last 2 to 3 years, thank you. And some people will say, this is so nice. This is lovely. Oh, thank you. There's a lot of bad going on, a lot of things that aren't very nice, and I think in part that is what helps people to want the nice back again. And to receive something like a smile, just something as simple as a smile, when things are like this, it only can help. And I think people are starting to get that message. I might be hoping too much here, I might be a bit overdoing it a bit, but I do think that people are starting to feel like they want to feel a part of something. And, you know, we've been taken down a route, haven't we, of, you know, a lot of selfishness. And, you know, when suddenly things don't look so good, we don't want to be quite so selfish anymore, I think. And that's what's going on. I'm certain of it. But there's a lot of good going on as well as bad. I don't want to talk about all bad. So there's a lot of good going on. So keep smiling when you go down the road. And everybody, whoever is listening to this, get smiling to people. It just changes. It changes the energy. You know, if two people live together and they're miserable, life's miserable. The first day, one morning, one of the guys gets up and says, do you want a cup of tea? And makes them a cup of tea. Life changes. It just changes. It starts from that moment. So, you know, the power lies within us to do it. And it's not that difficult. Everything's become complicated, but it's only because it needs to be so we don't follow it. We don't understand. It's all simple, really. Whatever we are inside of ourselves is going to be reflected out there. So those smiles are really important.
Well, I find the smiles and happiness and what have you, they kind of well up deep from within you sort of thing, like the sort of replenishing supply of happiness kind of thing. And if you bring it out and you project it, what happens is other people suck it out from you and then they'll either reflect it or not. Kind of thing, you know, like some people you just can't cheer them up no matter how hard you try. Those people are energy leeches. Don't hang around them, man.
No, it's true.
They will suck you down worse than a black hole sucks the light out of this universe.
And unfortunately, then, when you're sucked down into that position, you then start to attract things that you don't really want. You know, you end up being low yourself, and you don't have to go too cosmic with this. You know, if you're low, you tend to find yourself in low situations. It's quite hard to get yourself back out of it. So it is true. I mean, I like to... As I said, I like to think that our true nature is one of love and happiness and kindness and all those things. But you still have to have a little bit of intelligence, and you know, which is kind of a shame, because it is true. You've got to distance yourself from things that are going to bring you down. You've got to do it, because for all the negative, you just generate more negativity. The little bits of positive
we've got with us. Have you noticed that people are very adept at getting in their own way these days? You know, like they talk themselves out of everything. You know, do you want to come down to this protest? You want to meet some people? Oh, no. I'm a bit tired, man. I've got work tomorrow, or I've just got this movie to watch, or I'm going to a sports game, or I'm going to massage my own feet with sensual oils tonight. You know, something like that. Some ridiculous excuse that basically doesn't hold any relevance to a rational person is yet, ironically, capable of being rationalized by the average person.
It's incredible. No, it is true. I mean, that it is something that can be very frustrating. I mean, it really is, isn't it? I mean, I go down to Truth Juice most Tuesday evenings, and I don't necessarily agree with every speaker who comes on, but that doesn't matter. You keep your mind open and you learn something, you get together, it's really good. And quite recently, a pal of mine, who I don't see very often now, used to work locally but works somewhere else now in Birmingham, he was saying now he's financially in a lot of trouble. really low. I mean, nice bloke as well, you know, got two kids, family, really nice guy, and he's just been really low, and he kind of is into finding out stuff and what have you, and what he noticed was he was coming home and finding his, he'd come home from a long day working, tired, and say, how did school go today, Jack? No answer. Watching EastEnders. EastEnders, as you might know, is a British soap opera. And he'd have to go to his daughter, Lauren. Lauren, how was school today? I'm just watching this, Dad. And they were watching EastEnders. So he started to get really upset with that. And with that, it made him look into things. But he's in a route at the moment where his financial situation is awful. It's bringing him down, making him ill. And he lives literally 5 minutes away from the pub where the public house where Truth Juice takes place. And this one evening, Get Out of Debt Free were there. A guy called John Whitrick, who really nice chap. And obviously plenty of knowledge about helping you to get out of terrible situations with unlawful debts and, you know, debt collection agencies. And he was there talking, you know, he was there on the night. And I said to him, Paul, to my pal, I'm going to come and pick you up. It's £5. Come into Truth Juice. You're going to have the talk that is just what you need now. And you're going to get to be able to speak to the guy at the end of it as well. Please come along. And he said, I'll see what I'm doing. I said, forget about what you're doing, Paul. What are you going to be doing? And he said, well, I've got nothing on that much. I said, well, just come down then. Come down and meet me there. I'll be ever so annoyed if you don't come down. And he didn't turn up. And that was beyond me, that was. I mean, he'd only told me a day before how bad things were. And he had the perfect opportunity to be with someone who could help him, advise him. One of the most perfect guys to do it with. I mean, if you wanted to buy a chair and the chair salesman was coming, you'd be there. But he can't be there for someone who's going to really help you in a moment when you've got real need. For some reason, there's some excuse that can't get you there. Really frustrating. I mean, I'm always nice to people because I want to be nice to people, but that really frustrated me. It really did. You know, I thought, I can't believe that. You know, after all what you've told me, and you just couldn't turn up to a five-minute drive away. Still a lovely guy, though. Still a lovely bloke, and, you know, I'd never have anything bad to say about him. He's only ever been good to me, but it's just amazing, isn't it? You know?
Well, how is it that people have gotten this kind of brainwashed stew so completely and totally covering every little thing they do, like padded walls? How is it that the brainwashing works so well that people will intentionally refuse to do things that are good for them and be comfortable with that choice?
I think at one time, I think it was fear, wasn't it, of being seen as unusual or weird or breaking out of the herd or the flock or whatever you want to call it. I think that was part of it, wasn't it? And peer pressure. I mean, we grow up as kids. I don't know what it was like in New Zealand, but in the UK, growing up in the sort of 70s, 80s, when I was in, you know, my teens in the 80s, there was, you know, you had to have all the designer stuff. You couldn't be different. I mean, I was a bit different, but if you were different, I mean, you'd get picked on. So even myself, not wanting to be different, knowing that I had different feelings about things, I had to forget all that and blend in, because you can't just keep getting picked on and beat up. You just can't do it, so you've got to blend in. So I think there's a fearful thing in people that, you're going to look different. But we've been, if you could look at your mind as being a little computer, which I look at my mind as being my computer, and I should be in charge of that computer and not the outside world. And I still fail at it myself, you know. I can't tell you I've got it all sorted because I haven't, but I do understand to me that I need to be in charge of my computer. It's been so bombarded with television and all what it throws at you. I mean, there is some good television, but it's been all what's been thrown at you. I mean, we also know that a lot of stuff goes into foods and I think you mentioned fluoride a few moments ago. I mean, parts of the UK are fluoridated in the water as well. We've got aspartame or aspartame, and people drinking diet pops here. I mean, my family drinking diet pops for over 20 years and saying to them, please be really careful, you know. I've looked at this for 10 years plus. Please don't do it, you know. I'm trying to help you, and still take no notice. And I think all these little things like the EastEnders, which I've mentioned, and all these soap operas, feeding you your life how it should be, and all the degenerated TV mind-blowing stuff, you know, people wanting to get thin, people wanting to not be fat anymore, celebrities in the jungle and all these sort of things, coupled with the fluoride, coupled with the aspartame, the damaging foods, worrying about peer pressure. You know, the computer's damaged. It's really, really damaged. And I think there's another connection we can make, which is beyond mind. And I think we really can make that. We've all got access to it.
Well, I think that it's like we've all got access, right? But not all of us are given the key.
No, that's true.
You know, you can some of us, you know, have to bash your head against something for quite some time before they decide, hey, well this guy's going to get through with or without the key. Just let him through.
that's what happens, isn't it? I think that's true, Vinny. Yeah, that's true. You've got to keep doing it and keep doing it. And it's what you've just said is true. It is almost like, I've never looked at it like that before, really. It's almost like you're not coming in. But eventually, you're coming in, whether they like it or not, I think. And it takes more of us to keep doing that. It is obviously growing. I mean, you probably agree with that. It is growing.
Hard work and persistence. I mean, and have a look at all these wealthy business people all over the world and what have you. You know, how did they get there? Hard work and diligence. All right, they may have worked really hard to diligently screw people over, but they still were very successful at it.
That's true, isn't it? You know, they still had to work hard at screwing people over, and they kept persistent. I mean, one thing about some of these really wealthy guys is that there's something about them, isn't there? There's something within them that still separates them. And they might not be using it for either spiritual or for humanitarian or whatever. They're doing it for the gains of making a business big and making a lot of money. But there's still something about them that makes it so that they're going where they're going, you know?
It's called psychopathy.
This has been talked about just recently here, yeah. There is this psychopathic way, isn't there, that means that they're going to get where they're going and it doesn't matter. And it's not that they're deliberately being nasty, it's just how they are, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there really does need to be a sitcom or a musical play or something like that about psychopathy. You know, psychopathy, living together in tyranny. You know, it'd be great.
Well, we've got that playing out every day, haven't we? You know,
indeed. It's the Psychopathy Tyranny Radio Wave Launcher that we call the Vinnie Eastwood Show. My very special guest is Phil Haynes, and we'll be right back after the break with a little bit of more psychotic behaviour.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyite removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyite is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyite LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
News and information you can trust. This is American Freedom Radio. Freedom, freedom, American Freedom Radio. Radio. American Freedom Radio.
Listen to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. Live worldwide weekdays 5 till 7 Central. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on American Freedom Radio. The frontal lobe area of the cortex. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com and incidentally the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. We like to look on the lighter side of genocide because in a world so full of chaos and madness, if you lose your sense of humour, you'll go friggin' nuts too. My very special guest is Phil Haynes, live from the Uber Kingdom, from dayofkindness.co.uk, and we're talking about happiness and how to spread it and how you can make a kind of positive difference in this world, because heaps of people make a difference, you know, there's heaps of people that aren't alive today because somebody decided that they would make such a difference that they wouldn't be able to survive it. but we're talking about making a positive difference. Now, we're having a discussion over the break about the usage of technology. And you know how a lot of people are sort of technophobic and they choose not to use these new things and what have you because the first thing that comes to their mind with the new technology is, How is this being used against me? You know, what am I missing here? What are the angles? Whereas my perspective as a technophile is, how can I use this against them? You know, this is two totally different ways of looking at them and produce two very interesting results. One, you use, say, Skype and Facebook and whatnot to link up with people of like mind all over the world who wind up sharing your videos, your articles, your radio shows and whatnot, and you wind up getting more traffic and you start making more of a difference. You start inspiring more people because they see, hey, this guy's just using Skype and YouTube and blah, 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 and doing all of this stuff and it's barely costing him anything and he's beating the mainstream media on the YouTube rankings. So, you know, bugger it, man. They gave us all this technology to enslave us, and so I say use the weapons of the enemy against them. If somebody can make you a slave by pointing a gun at you, you can make them your well, you know, FCC-regulated expletive right here. by snatching that weapon off them and using it back against them, okay? They're dumb, okay? They bring a knife to a gunfight. That's what I find is really funny about people who start attacking conspiracy theorists who are formerly of the conspiracy movement. They don't realize who their enemy is, okay?
That's true.
Conspiracy theorists, if you want to go online and attack a group of people, trust me, take a lesson from the United States, okay? Invade an enemy that can't defend themselves. Because what happens here when you attack conspiracy theorists, they own the effing internet now. Okay? You can't put up a video about Britney Spears without somebody posting a link to some kind of occultic reference to a dance that she's doing. Okay? You can't do it anymore, man. You can't be mainstream without conspiracy theorists heckling you. And it's great because it's hilarious because we gang stalk people now because there's that many of us. Any fluoride head comes in and goes, oh, all these conspiracy theorists are real psycho, crazy people, nut bars or what have you. And you'll have like 10 reasoned responses to it, calling the guy a retard. It must be very discouraging to be fluoridated these days. You know, I obviously am a big pot of bubbling positivity right here because, well, basically, anybody who comes attacking me on these pages or whatever and is really being totally unreasonable won't listen to reason. Even if I apologize for the stuff they are angry about, they're still angry about. There's this great function. It's called block, and you never hear from them again.
Brilliant. Well, I don't think it's a shame, really, that people do get so angry over it. I mean, I do get that every once in a while when I'm talking to people. They get kind of upset. You're not talking about the system things, and it just doesn't fit. It really is a shame in a way, but like you say, we've said this already about separating yourself away from things, and if somebody's really not going to get it for the moment, they're really not going to get it, are they? So, and going back to the technology, you're absolutely right in what you're saying about using technology while it's there, because it's there for a reason. And like all things that can give you some form of power, it's neutral. It just depends who gets their hands on it. So if we can do some good with it, and I've been a bit of a technophobe, as I said in the break, Kevin, if we can do some good with it, then let's grab hold of it and use it and do it. And obviously people like yourself are doing brilliant work with it, aren't you, you know?
Well, you know, it's the main backbone, and it's like, if you want to go dig a garden, you need a shovel. Okay? If you want to go start a communications empire, you need some type of mechanism to communicate with, don't you? Mm-hmm. And conveniently, these companies and their infinite wisdom have given them available use for free. Okay? So I think that if you've got no money and they've got all the money in the world, but they provide you the weapons to expose the fact that they've stolen all the money.
Is it gross?
Why would you not use it? You know, it's just like,
yeah, absolutely.
You retards, you know, you're just so arrogant, aren't you, that you give everybody access to Skype. But now that Microsoft is in charge, I'm sure that there might be some description of turnarounds. I'm sure that they're recording every episode of the Vinnie Eastwood show, getting further brainwashed by my particular strain of propaganda to make them stand up against their masters in the New World Order and the vaccine-pushing scumbags that run the company.
I'd love them to agree with you, Vinny. You know, it'd be great, wouldn't it, for one of the guys to ring in and say, actually, I'm changing my ways. I want to go against them. It's not going to happen, is it, I don't think? But that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
Oh, no, it happens all the time. You know, that's the interesting thing about resistance, is that like you woke up to for a very personal reason, a very individual reason. Everybody wakes up for some reason or another, and it doesn't matter what the source is. Like, I had somebody, the anti-terrorist, for example, decline me for an interview because some of the questions I was planning to ask him were similar to an interview that he did on somebody else's radio show, and he won't do radio shows live. And that kind of thing, just all these sort of restrictions of access, which I can respect and understand, because that's the way he wants to go about it. He wants to be anonymous. He wants to know that the messenger doesn't actually matter. You want to be a kind of a faceless questioner sometimes. But, you know, I've got copious amounts of ego and all of that kind of stuff. And what this allowed me to do is basically shirk any kind of a sense of shame and cruise out there and ambush politicians with a camera, ask them about their plans for world government, and talk to them about how our fluoride in the water is poisonous, and all of these things that nobody else has the guts to do. And if they do have the guts to do it, they don't have the presence of mind or the time to film it, edit it, and get it up online. So if a person in the middle of a forest talks the truth, does anybody hear it? No, they don't. That's what's going on here right now, I think, is that the technology aspect is merely about repetition. Okay? Repetition. It's the most elegant form of brainwashing. It works very, very well. And at the moment, it's being used on people to make them think that they're pathetic, useless trash that have no future and essentially can't make decisions to take care of themselves to save their lives. And that's just because all their responsibilities have been incrementally taken away from them. So why would they even want a sense of responsibility when they don't have any, you know? so what's happening here, I feel, is people are just getting kind of a bit in their own heads, so to an extent. I feel that the most important thing, if you're wanting to accomplish something on a mass scale or on any scale for that matter, is the involvement of more and more people. Now, if you wanted to do something like a clandestine operation, on the other hand, you'd have to involve more and more people, but you'd only do it on an individual basis so that those other people don't know about each other.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think it's technology's got to be used and get everybody together. I think we've got a fantastic opportunity now, not just because of technology, but because of the change that's taking place in people. I think also there's a good and bad side of this. I mean, a lot of the things that are playing out now on our screens and what we can see with news, I don't know if it's not just me, and I'm hoping that other people are seeing this as well, but it's so sort of blatantly rubbish, if you know what I mean. I think quite often it used to be quite clever and tricky and, ooh, we've got to look at this and see how they do that. But often now I look and think, what are they talking? It's just rubbish they're talking. Really clearly, you know, it just... And what is going on there? I mean, there was a thing recently with... I mean, this is old news, but it's still news that everybody will know. When somebody said to me, I didn't see the news, somebody who I know said to me, have you seen what Gaddafi's been doing? He's been giving the soldiers Viagra. I said, what? Where have you heard that? It's on the news. I saw it for myself later on. I thought, I can't believe, there can't be people sitting at home hearing that Gaddafi is being backed up by, he's been backed into a corner by the West, who are clearly after him because he doesn't want anything to do with their way of putting the country in debt and taking it off him. He's not going to have time to give his soldiers Viagra. What they're talking about, how can we have fallen for that? It couldn't possibly have done. You know, it's quite amusing for me, really. But I don't
know. Well, you know, obviously somebody told the soldiers to harden up. The call-in number, we'll be opening the lines over the break for you listeners out there. If you want to call in and add to the conversation on this, the last hour of the show, this fabulous Friday, wherever you may be on this prison planet, call in 402-237-2525. That number again is 402-237-2525, and you can join us at the VinnieEastwoodShow.com chat room. That's the VinnieEastwoodShow.com, Vinnie with a Y. We'll be right back after the break.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now, toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Most Americans know the significance of July 4th, 1776. However, few know the importance of September 17th, 1787, the day the Constitution was written and adopted by our founders. Unfortunately, over 200 years later, this sacred document is under attack, along with our beloved Republic. Throughout the span of history, brave men and women have rallied behind banners, which have served as symbols of liberty against the forces of tyranny. Today, we have the Constitution Pride flag to show our support for the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, freedom, liberty, and justice for we the people of the United States. Now available at www.1787flags.com. Get your very own Constitution Pride flag today and receive a free pocket Constitution with your order. www.1787flags.com, the official website of the Constitution Pride flag. That's www.1787flags.com.
What is it that's in your home that causes grown men to cower and children to run for cover?
Fun!
Food storage!
That's right. Food storage shouldn't be scary. At Simply Your Food, we are the premier providers of long-term, storable, GMO, and MSG-free meats, veggies, fruit, dairy, and pantry essentials like powdered butter. We even have a gluten-free line. Food storage shouldn't be scary. Let Simply Your Food help you with your food storage needs. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage. Go to simplyyourfood.com or call 866-251-7511 and let us take the scary out of food storage.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or a camp light. To view or purchase your Berkey water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
No rules. No rules. No taboo topics.
No taboo topics.
No fear of doom.
No fear of doom.
We are American Freedom Radio.
American Freedom Radio.
Welcome back. This is the Vinny Eastwood Show. And we're just trying to get the phone lines open for you now so that you can call in. I'd like to be called by some people who haven't perhaps called the show before, maybe long-time listeners, first-time callers. You know that old cliche. And what I think is that when you're kind of putting yourself out there in the public eye and you're attempting to make a difference of some description, you're going to get some attention, some of it good, some of it not good. And the trick is learning how to deal with it. So the number to call in is 402-237-2525. If you've never called up radio before, you're the person we want to hear from right here, right now, on some original thoughts, some original ideas, something that you've got going on this Friday night. Are you going to a protest? Are you going to sow some lovely flowers into the back collar of a policeman's jacket while he's not looking and then step away in an ever so somewhat pixie-like fashion? Give us a call in, 402-237-2525. And my guest here today is Phil Haynes, and we were talking about happiness and conspiracy theories, and basically, you know, I have one thing that I don't like to do, and that's get assaulted by people. Really don't like it when people invade my personal space like that, eh? It just ticks me off to no end, and I like fly into a freaking rage.
In what way would you say that somebody, would you consider an assault?
Basically, somebody comes up and shoves you or punches you or kicks you, or basically they touch you in a way that's not in a nice way, you know? Like if somebody comes up and hugs you, you don't say, "That's assaulting an officer," you know? You know what I mean?
Think
everybody knows what it's like to be assaulted and knows that it's not kind of like, it doesn't have the same benefit as perhaps tenderizing beef with a mallet would, you know what I'm saying?
I know. I think are we referring here to potentially police and things like that? That sort of thing going on at protests
And there's the general aspartame gum-chewing calcified frontal lobe mofos that no freaking clue, and you're talking on the side of the street about something, you know, to do with 9/11 or what have you, and they just come up and freaking shove you. Like, people just have these psycho reactions nowadays. It's so weird.
Again, you know, you've got to go back and you think how damaged we are, you know, and if we look at parents, which we're all, you know, most of us, many of us are parents, and we've all been children at some point in our lives, it's been sort of passed down to us, hasn't it, really? We become the result of our upbringing, and it's a real big shame, isn't it? I mean, where I live is pretty good. There's a lot of nice people and what have you, but you still get an element of it where, is it the right word? Disrespect. It's just, there's no respect, lack of care, you know, it's still there. And, having said that, Vinny, I was talking to somebody the other day, and I remember during the 80s, if I was in the middle of Birmingham, you had to be quite careful about where you went to when you were a teenager, because you were going to get beat up, you're going to get the money took off you. And I don't hear quite so much of that nowadays within the teenagers. I might be wrong. And then when I was growing up in the 80s, an uncle of mine said, "Do you think it's rough now?" When I was growing up in the 50s, they used to carry chains and they'd bat you over the head with a chain if you're walking up their street. And you do.
Provides a kind of provides a society that learns how to take care of itself because it knows the essentialness of it, right? And so they're tough. They kind of put up with a lot. And nowadays, we're just such softies, you know? Oh, I want the crusts cut off my bread. Oh, the Coke isn't chilled. You know, these are the type of things that throw us for a loop nowadays.
Well, look how we've become as well. I mentioned this. I did a talk earlier on tonight, and we were talking about how weak we've become. And how easy it is then, because we've become so weak, when the moment comes where the powers that be want to make things difficult, we aren't strong enough. And it's only silly things. And we were talking about using technology, which I agree with. But in some cases, you think, well, I know people who will not look in a map anymore. They've got to have the sat-nav working. So no longer now do they even want to think about where they're going to go. They just want to type it in and be told where to go. We've got TVs, which we've had for years now, with remote control. We don't wash the dishes anymore. I'm not knocking any of that.
The truth.
You know, these are things that are quite, you know, they're good for us in many ways. But it weakens us somehow, I think. It actually makes us quite weak.
I think it comes down to two words. Work ethic.
Yeah.
It does. It's bugger all true, of yeah. that, man.
Like, no, there ain't. That's true.
Oh, my God. How lazy are the kids these days, man? Serious, like walking up a hill, for example? Can't get them to do it! Unbelievable. You know, where's the nearest PlayStation game? Where's the nearest DVD? Where's the sausage rolls? The things that they crave and the things that they want to do, the things that aren't difficult to motivate them to do, are the worst things for them. How's anybody supposed to raise a child in this kind of oppressive environment where the kids don't want to do anything except the stuff that makes them sick, makes them dumb, makes them unfit, makes them slow?
It's so sad, isn't it? I mean, it's not nice to impose yourself or enforce your beliefs or anything or your feelings upon your own child, but nevertheless, you've got to get them outside and get them walking and get them, you know, even if it's not all the time, get them out in the country. Doing things, seeing things. I do with my own daughter. I make sure she gets out there, and she's only five, but, you know, we might do 3 or 4 miles over all the hills. We end up in a pub afterwards and then walk back from the pub. But, you know, she doesn't always want to do it. And sometimes I don't force her, but there are times when me and my wife will say, come on, let's get outside and walk. You know, don't sit in front of that Wii game, just playing the Wii or whatever, you know, or sit in front of those cartoons which are being repeated over and over again on the Disney Channel. Which I really hate watching some of that. I do really don't like watching some of it. But, you know, you've got to have some sort of balance there. They have to be allowed to do it. And, you know...
They have to understand the value in it as the thing is because you don't want to have to... You can't be there all the time, you know, to ensure that they can take care of themselves. You know, you have to teach them how to take care of themselves and teach them to want to do it, you know, like rewarding and things like that. There's so many parents these days where they just kind of like lavish their children with gifts and they haven't earned it. They don't do the dishes. They don't mow the lawns. They don't go out and they don't help out make dinner with mummy and daddy or any. They don't do anything. And they ask for things and then they get them. What kind of a mindset does that put on somebody? Like, I don't have to do anything, and whenever I want something, I'll just ask for it, and it'll be mine, right? That's just so weak, man.
It's unbelievable. I mean, just thinking of something there as you said that, we've met quite a few nice people around the area where we live, and my wife does a thing called Music with Mummy, where parents, she's worked with children for, you know, all her life, so she has... parents and children come around and there's music and interaction for them as they're growing up. It's really good for them, you know. It gives them confidence, makes them feel good. And I think it was through that one of those classes that my wife met a lady who said, oh, would you like to come to our birthday party for my child? And, you know, said yes. So all the kids go to different birthday parties, you know, and my daughter goes to loads. And never, very rarely lavish, you know, but quite nice. Little presents get given and what have you. And this one lady had said to my wife that, no, the minimum amount that you spend is £40 on each child, and they all have to keep up with each other. So, I mean, it's not a massive, massive amount of money, but £40 is a fair bit of money, you know, especially now. And if you haven't got a lot of money, £40 is a lot of money. And each one of these families, when they go to each other's parties, they all have to make sure they spend £40 on their friend's child. I think, my God. that's just unbelievable. just have a present and accept it and say thank you, and that's the end of it. You know, but that's how it's gone. It's just there's something desperately wrong there. But this was a true thing.
This is ironic, you know. This is a very pragmatic way of dealing with things. Like, oh, we don't want people to be bringing gifts that are too expensive that'll make everybody else's present look crappy. So what we'll do is we'll make sure that everybody has to pay the same amount so that it's kind of like this homogenized value of presentness. All right? So that way nobody gets offended and everybody has to cough up for it. And the child will only care about maybe one or two of the toys that he gets anyway, and all the rest will end up in these gargantuan freaking landfills that we've got everywhere.
Absolutely true. Absolutely true. There's something that... But my wife has done this ever since I met her in 1989, and I found this bizarre. I mean, she can't hear me now, I don't think, but they make a list at Christmas for the things they want, and it's nothing wrong with that, I suppose, because you'll get things that you'll use, and, you know, so it's not useless gifts. But I always thought that, you know, you get your gifts for Christmas, and you're just grateful for every single thing that you get. And from the smallest to the biggest, the cheapest to the most expensive, someone's actually thought of me. Thank you. You know, that's fantastic. And, you know, obviously we grew up, my wife obviously grew up at the same time, 70s and 80s growing up. And even then, to me, that's a sign of what was happening. Even then, you know, it's a sign of where we were going, that we're making lists to tell people what we want. And for me, you just got what you got. I mean, I might have told my mum, I'd like one of these, and I might get it. But if the money wasn't there, I got stuff, you know, and you just had to accept and be happy that you had what you had. And, you know, we get so ungrateful now, really. Your parents may have said the same thing, Vinny, but, you know, my mum used to get an apple and a banana, and that was our Christmas present. You know, what would happen now if the kids got an apple and a banana for Christmas? I mean, my God, what would happen? It'd be a new I mean, it'd be worse than the New World Order going off, wouldn't it? You know, there'd be pandemonium in the house.
I know. The kid would set up a small, a miniature FEMA camp in the corner of the room around the Christmas tree for you to, you know, and you have to eat the barbs, the plastic fake Christmas tree leaves for survival, you know, that kind of thing. They'll dose up extra fluoride in your tap water.
Can they do that?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you know, goodness knows what mainstream media cartoons are teaching kids these days. They're teaching them that global warming is like the hottest thing since sliced heads, and it in the Marie Antoinette sense of the word, and like basically everybody's just turning into these real just fools, more or less fools that follow crap. And love the prospect of busting their hump all day, every day, so that they can enjoy themselves for about 25%, I don't know, more like 17% of their free time is spent away from work, basically, and all the rest of it gets soaked up by it. And they're quite happy with that 17%, you know? This is what I was talking about before about being pragmatic, is that you don't draw a line. Yeah, as opposed to dogmatic people who have lines that simply don't get crossed because anybody who comes over them, boom, they strike back. This is not going to be tolerated. Get the F out of here, mate, because you're scum and you're trying to hurt people, and that kind of thing is not allowed to go on in this house, right? But often because parents have become so pragmatic, their children wind up becoming dogmatic about it, right? They start demanding rather than asking. They start throwing tantrums instead of going into negotiations and asking how, and instead of trying to problem solve, they just create problems, you know?
It is, yeah.
Everything's freaking topsy-turvy. And it says in Agenda 21, have you heard of Agenda 21?
I have, yeah.
Yep. It says right in there, that the abolition of the family unit is basically the main thing that needs to be accomplished in order to bring about this kind of socialist world government that they want. And that's not entirely different from the old Nazi ideology where Hitler got the Hitler Youth started all the kids in. You know, it's sort of like a modern-day version of McDonald's. But there's the influx right there. How do you protect parents from the 10,000-odd commercials that are going to be shown to their children in an average year of watching TV? I mean, they cannot compete with that kind of brainwashing material, can
they? It's awful, isn't it, really?
We're all surrounded by it all day, every day. And more or less, I see progressive legislation getting passed that takes the rights of parents away to raise their own bloody kids.
That's been going on for a long time, hasn't it? That, you know, gradually, you've just said about Agenda 21 and what was happening with the Nazis. That's a little bit of it, isn't it? That, you know, you've got no control over your own children, so somebody else will. And I can see this happening in the UK. I can. It's a horrible thing, you know. And I do mention these things every once in a while, wife, friends, and what have you. And it's not taken note of really, but. This is something that I can see gradually creeping in, where the state really is in charge of your child. I mean, you might know this already, Vinny, but we get birth certificates when we get born, and it creates a legal fiction or a corporate entity. I'm not a freeman properly, really, or anything like that. There are plenty of people who are very aware of all this, and... in this country, if you have a car on the logbook now and you get your new registration document through for your car, it actually says on there, this does not constitute the ownership of the vehicle. In other words, whoever's name is on that logbook does not necessarily mean it's the owner of the vehicle. And if you haven't got tax that's up to date on the car, you can have your car removed and crushed. £40,000 worth of what you thought was your car can be removed and crushed. That's when you register your car. Because it's no longer yours. It's been tricked. We've been tricked into that. So I look at the child, and when my daughter was born in 2006, and so we're going to go and get a birth certificate, and I didn't fully know what I was feeling about it at the time in 2006, but I just thought, I don't want her to have a birth certificate. She's not a car. She's not a car. I don't want her to have a birth certificate. And we ended up getting a birth certificate. It's not the end of the world. But what happens there is that you don't actually... It's almost the child isn't yours anymore. So the stepping stone was already made for that. And it only takes the threat of, or the even the imagined threat, or the put into the imaginations of something dangerous in an area, and by the way, your children will be safer here, and who knows what happens next. And this is conspiracy stuff, and stuff you could say would be on a conspiracy film, but it kind of feels quite real to me. And... I think in the break, one of the breaks, we mentioned a thing called Common Purpose. Well, the chap who's really been uncovering this, a gentleman called Brian Gerrish in the UK, fantastic guy, some of the work he's done. He's been covering a lot of this, and it's quite interesting.
Indeed, we'll get into that after the break.
Okay.
402-237-2525 is the number to call in if you want to get in on this conversation. And we'll be right back at thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Do you realize every day we are being put under constant stress from wireless radiation? What's worse is that you don't even know that it's happening. It puts as much stress on our body as if we had a constant viral infection, draining our energy and sapping our strength, or just making us irritable and fatigued. These wireless fields are being emitted from computers, microwaves, mobile phones, power lines, and any electrical appliance. Now there is a solution. A group of research engineers in New Zealand have come up with an active shielding device that shields you from wireless radiation at a cellular level. BlueShield comes in three models, a household, portable, and USB that plugs into any computer. The great thing about BlueShield is it is very affordable and guaranteed to last. A one-off purchase will see you being protected for years to come. Visit AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the BlueShield banner. BlueShield, brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. Feeling stressed, tired, lacking energy, or lacking libido? Now you can take control of your healthcare goals in the privacy of your own home with the use of reliable, high-quality health products from Ideal Health in New Zealand. Conveniently delivered to your door anywhere in the world. You'll find our friendly health team offer well-researched health information plus the highest quality health products. We want to ensure you not only get the best value products available, but also ensure you get the fastest therapeutic results. With over 2,600 pages of health information and natural products, all compiled by our friendly naturopathic team. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand. Leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by the VinnieEastwoodShow.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
Welcome to the world's meeting place. American.
It's practically narcotic.
Freedom.
Oh, yes. I like it very much.
Radio.
You're an American institution.
American Freedom Radio.
Truth Brigade Radio. Live Monday through Friday, 7 to 9 p.m. Only on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. The truth has just gotten hotter.
Look at me, driving and I won't stop. And it feels so good to be alive and on top. My reach is global, my tower secure. My cause is noble, my power is pure. I can hand out a million vaccinations. I'll let them all die in exasperation. Have them all healed from the lacerations. Have them all killed by assassination. I can make anybody go to prison just because I don't like them. And I can do anything with no permission. I have it all under my command because I can guide a missile by satellite. By satellite, by satellite. And I can hit a target through a telescope, through a telescope, through a telescope. And I can end the planet in a holocaust, 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 in a holocaust.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, sponsored by the letters C, the letter I, and the letter A. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show. American Freedom Radio, spreading out the COINTELPRO and disinfo like nobody's business. My very special guest is Phil Haynes from the Uber Kingdom, dayofkindness.co.uk. And when we talk about kindness, I think that people forget just the value that it has, right? And I remember one time I was on Queen Street, Central City, and this guy had... being given out Dickie's clothes, or, you know, like pants and nice T-shirts and things like that, kind of expensive gear and what have you. And he just kind of got a whole stuff from his dad's shop, and they just kind of hand out some nice clothing on the weekends sometimes, just cause. Real nice guy. And somebody mugged him, stole the whole box, and even stole his weed, you know. And he encountered me, and he said, "Man, you know, I just got all my weed stolen. I got all my box stolen." And I said, "Well, mate, you know, bugger," because I had a joint rolled in my pocket, and I just gave it to him and said, "You know what, mate? You've been doing a good job. It's about time somebody do something nice for you. So here you go," and sent him on his way. And he had a freaking happy night, you know. And this is the kind of thing that you can do for each other, and it doesn't necessarily have to be drugs or whatever. Just be a nice person. Whatever that person needs right then in that moment, if you can kind of think laterally about how you can give them something that would make them happy, do it. And I can guarantee you will have just as much benefit as they will from doing it as they will from receiving it. And that's the sort of real spirit of Christmas that's been very much lost with this whole consumeristic society. Mm. It's about the giving of gifts, not the taking of them.
That's right. That's true. And I used to get presents when I was a kid at, you know, when I was little at Christmas. But there's always something nice about Christmas for me. Even if you don't look at it particularly religiously, because we weren't a religious family, but there was always something about it that was nice. It was nice that I got the presents, but what used to happen was my grandmother, she'd be round, you know, we'd have some other family around, go and see some other family, you know, some friends and what have you. And as I've got older, we spend some time with our friends, you know, and it's just something nice about it. And it's kind of, I don't allow us to lose it here. And I think what's nice is my wife's a bit like that as well. We don't lose that feeling about it. We have like a feeling of an excitement for our daughter. But the funny thing is we both like it anyway, you know. So last Christmas we got quite a bit of snow, which was unusual. We used to always have snow years ago, and we haven't had none for years. And on Christmas Eve, we were going down on sledges in the snow, and it was a real old-style Christmas. It was lovely, you know. And what a shame we have gone down that that route of materialism. I don't think there's anything particularly wrong with having nice things, because you obviously correspond to having them, you know. But one of the big problems we've got, I think, is that we become those nice things. And what I mean by that is we are that nice car that we've got and the nice clothes and everything. But what happens if suddenly we haven't got them? Are we still that same person? And that's quite possibly not, you know. I would guess that that's the way for a lot of people. Not everybody, but I'm sure that, you know, I know that in my past I became something different for a while in a sales environment where I was doing really well. And I became this sort of little aggressive, big selling, big drinking, partying sort of thing for 2 or 3 years. And suddenly one of the things, I suppose you asked me earlier on, Vinny, what happened to you? Did something make you feel that something was different? Perhaps it was that, because I was never really like that, and I spent 2 or 3 years being like it, and suddenly couldn't be like it anymore. You know, so another side of this is we often hear some parents say, "I'm going to give," or I used to hear, "my kids will have all the things I didn't have." But what do they mean by that? They actually usually mean a load of material things. So, right, they're going to have all these great things and great goods. There's nothing wrong particularly with having them, but it's all that there is. And wouldn't it have been better to teach them a little bit about themselves, or to find out a little bit more about, you know, the truths of what are going on out there, as well as having those nice things, you know? And, you know, I'd love to be able to, hopefully I'll do that for my daughter. I do try. I must be making errors here and there, but I do try my best.
Yeah, I came from the sales world as well, and I always say that it's about manipulation. Basically, that's what sales teaches you how to be.
How to
know what people are going to say, how they're going to react, all of that kind of stuff, and you head them off, and you basically channel them in the conversation down this path that you want them to, so you can make money out of them. And on top of that, though, I had a few other criteria. Like I had to make money out of them. But that was secondary to them saving money with me. Like, for example, I could have easily convinced many, many customers to buy what I was selling them, even though it would have eventually actually cost them more money by bending the truth a little bit or what have you. And I just kind of refused to do that. But I was still number one on the boards for a full straight 6 months. Nobody came close to how many sales I was hitting, because I was just doing it in an honest and respectable kind of way. And people really respond to that, because ultimately it's a different experience from them, because they don't expect it from a salesperson. And that allows you to even more manipulate them. I noticed myself becoming so skilled at this that it actually scared me a little. Like, what am I going to turn into if I keep going down this path?
You start to understand, although at the time you don't necessarily realize what you're doing, but you're having a very strong understanding of psychology. That's what's happening, and you're able to mirror people, and you just, you know, again, very similar to you, I never ever ripped anybody off. When I say I was aggressive, I didn't go around trying to fight everybody, but I had this real aggressive, I'm going to be the best, and, you know, the life that you have with that, where you go out getting drunk and all that, so that all went with it as well, and as I say, that really wasn't how I was. Not like a few beers and getting drunk, but I was never really an aggressive person, so what was I doing being that way? But I never ever ripped anybody off, and I used to get repeat sales. People used to come back to me, always come and buy off me again. But the one thing that you find yourself doing, and this is, I think, generally is kind of dangerous, is you'll be somebody different for every other person. So the old couple comes in, and I'm the angel. This is when I worked for, I used to work for Volvo years ago, and then we used to have a guy who was an eye earning guy, used to film all the Formula One, travel all over the world, smashing guy, and he used to be a bit flash, but I really liked the guy, and I would then be what suits him, and then I would be then what suits the next person. And in our lives, we get a bit that way, don't we? I think we won't say the things we'll say in front of our mothers that we'll say in front of our friends, that we won't say in front of our girlfriends, that we won't say in front of somebody else. And I think that this might be a bit too deep, perhaps, I don't know, but what we actually start to do is become not necessarily schizophrenic, but a little bit that way, because who are you then? You know, after a while, you have to be really careful, because who are you? If you're somebody different for everybody you speak to, who the hell are you? And how are you going to make sense of everything? You know, and I did look at that a few years ago. I found that an important thing to do. And that was by, I was fortunate to meet somebody who could teach me a bit of this. And just doing self-observation. You have to be a bit careful when you do the self-observation thing, because if you find things about yourself that you don't like, you don't get low about it, because you can get low about it. But you sort of, once you know those things, you can kind of think, right, I won't do that anymore. And you'll do it again. But then you keep practicing like anything else, and eventually you don't do it anymore. It's not to be boring, and I don't think I am boring. I still have fun and do all the fun things. But I think that's the truth, that is. I think I can see myself being somebody different for somebody else every time. And when I look back, I don't want to be that. And I get told off sometimes by my wife for saying too much about my subjects and things that I look at and why I do Day of Kindness and what I want to do with it. And I always say, well, hold on a minute. I say it to you, and I say it to everybody else. So I think that's reasonably authentic. You know, it's not me being a different person for everybody. It's just me doing what I feel and what I think. And it doesn't upset anybody particularly or anything like that. And I think it's a little bit authentic, and I want to try and be that way if I can, you know?
Self-improvement, I think, has been lost on so many people. Don't you think, like, instead of learning how to cook, you just drive down to the local McDonald's and get a burger at the drive-thru.
Yeah, you know, it's easy, isn't it?
Ease and convenience has never achieved a heck of a lot of great things, I don't think. I think it's always the hard work and the struggle that really produces the best results. People have forgotten that.
It's true no matter what you do, isn't it? If you have to put effort into something, there's a reward out of it as well, isn't it? You know, whatever you have to put a little bit of your feeling into and your efforts and your time, even if it doesn't work out exactly how you want it, there's a a feeling that you'd done your best and you really had a go at it, you know, and I think that's a really important thing. That is lost on people, that is, at the moment, I think. I really think it is. I mean, I spent my first years having left school mostly in a factory, which was, you might have heard of Austin Rover or Rover, which was the UK's biggest car builder at one time, you know, and it all closed down some years ago. And I lived not far away from that factory, and the only when I was a trainee there, when they had you in the training centre, it was all controlled with rules, and it felt horrible. I didn't like it, and my reports in the training centre weren't very good. But put me out in the factory with all the guys who were working as a 16, 17-year-old kid, and, you know, if it was building seats, I'd really do my best to build them seats all day. You know, and I'd want to know how to do it and try and do it, and then they'd put me in somewhere else, and I'd want to know how to get the doors to fit properly on a car. And that's what I found interesting, getting on there and doing it all. And all my reports from being in the factory were brilliant because I used to enjoy doing it and making an effort and making it work. And, you know, I had some years ago, working for myself, I did have a guy come and work for me for a little while. He was known as Young Adam because there was a big guy called Adam and a young guy called, and he was younger called Adam. And he's no longer Young Adam now, he's in his 30s. But back then, he was a young guy, and we were doing cars, you know, buying and selling cars and, you know, doing some work like that. And we had some cars to go to the auction. It was a hot day, and I said, come on, Adam, we've got to get these cars clean, get them down to the auction. And I got on one of them, I was scrubbing away, getting it clean, going round it, you know. I went round to him, and I said, what are you doing, Adam? And he said, I'm washing the car. And he had two fingers on a piece of rag, just fluffing it across the door.
you're breaking up there quite a bit there, Phil. You might want to hold on a second. Start speaking again.
Am I back?
Yeah. You're okay. You might want to just unplug your USB headset and then plug it back in, and that usually solves some of the problems there. So,
okay. Give me a moment.
Yeah. Or we might get the studio to possibly reconnect you at this point if he's listening in. But I think that I really wanted to kind of get into the whole how you remain happy in the face of this great adversity. I mean, it's all very well to tell people to get their stuff together, stop being freaked out by all this New World Order conspiracy stuff, and realize that you can contribute. And when you ask the question, what can I do about it, it's not a rhetorical question anymore, sort of thing. You're like, what's your motivation? What are your skill sets? What makes you even care enough to start talking about it in the first place, okay? Are you wanting to get involved in this movement for the children? Are you getting involved in this movement for the country? Are you doing it for your health? Are you doing it for the money? There's a million reasons why people join the truth movement, and I think that's the reason why it's becoming so strong and so big, is because it has no rules, you know?
Yes.
Like, some people try to, like, have you ever seen a manual, like, like the conspiracy theorist manual, how you're supposed to operate? No, they don't effing exist.
No.
So that's the best thing about it. And you're sounding just fine now, but I find that people, again, like I said before, they always just get in their own way, talk themselves out of doing things because they think that there's some form of rules that they have to follow, or some sort of protocol, or whatever. Here's the one rule that you need to follow. Just do it. Nike was right all along.
It's true, isn't it? It is absolutely true. You've just got to get on. And you've just said that, you know, it's difficult because people put their own blockages in the way. And, you know, I was about to say that perhaps it's the job of, you know, yourself, me, people who are trying to do something, not to show off about it or anything like that, but to really get them along and go and do it. But you can't actually really do that, you know. You can't impose yourself on anybody because it switches them off. I think perhaps some of the things you can do is to say your piece and then recommend them to see something else for themselves, you know. Present them with something that will make them go, wow, yes, you know, I can see something there.
Everybody has a little thread coming off of their sweater. And if you pull this thread and they walk away, it will come off. and reveal the very, very awesome 9/11 was an inside job t-shirt underneath. We'll be right back after the break at TheBinnyEastwoodShow.com.
Now you and your family and friends can enjoy the cleanest, most delicious, and healthy drinking water anytime, even while traveling, camping, at sporting events, or in emergency situations. The Berkeleyte removes bacteria, cysts, parasites, and harmful chemicals to below detectable levels. It also reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury, while leaving in the beneficial and nutritional minerals your body needs. Berkeleyte is so powerful, it can even purify raw, untreated water from remote lakes and streams. And the optional PF2 filters even remove fluoride. The Berkeleyte LED, with its rechargeable lighting system, can be used as a nightlight or camp light. To view or purchase your Berkeley water system and replacement filters, please visit American Freedom Radio's website at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkeley banner. Once again, that's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click the Berkey Water banner. Not yet available in Iowa.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserves the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know that we are tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Following a radiological or nuclear event, radioactive iodine may be released into the air and then be breathed into the lungs. Radioactive iodine may also contaminate the local food supply and get into the body through food or through drink. When radioactive materials get into the body through breathing, eating or drinking, the thyroid gland quickly absorbs the chemical. Radioactive iodine absorbed by the thyroid can then injure the gland. But you can protect yourself with use potassium iodide, which acts to block radioactive iodine from being taken into the thyroid gland and can help protect this gland from injury. To take advantage of very special rates, click on the banner at AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And don't forget our convenient delivery service, Ideal Health New Zealand, leaders in alternative health. That's AmericanFreedomRadio.com and click on the Ideal Health New Zealand button. Proudly brought to you by TheVinnyEastwoodShow.com.
Are you suffering from issues related to angina pain, high blood pressure, congestive heart failure, unbalanced cholesterol, irregular heartbeats, clogged arteries? If so, you are not alone. Millions of people are suffering from one or more of these problems. If you'd like to live your life free of sickness, pain, and fear, live your life with increased vitality, energy, and youthfulness, and experience your body healing itself, then this might be the most important message you'll ever hear. An effective 100% organic nutritional supplement is now available. Heart and Body Extract is an exclusive formula of wild-crafted and organic herbs. It is extremely effective and starts to work within days. Get your Heart and Body Extract today by visiting heartandbody.com or by calling 866-295-5305, 866-295-5305, or heartandbody.com.
Online, all the time, your gateway to the world.
AFR
American Freedom Radio.
Give it to them.
Listen to Time for Hemp, hosted by Casper Leach. Afternoons, Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. Central. Only on American Freedom Radio.
My anger to a place that ain't gon' get up in your face. The facts we okay, but the system fails. We got to change the way we see the problem if we're gonna fix this place. My living soul don't care about the color of your face. Unite and roll, respect our right to live here on the land. It's Tino Ranga, Tina Tonga, we don't own the banks. The parliament does so, so where do you have a stand? They paying their bills off your back with hefty tax demands. Misleading our youth with alcohol, TV contrabands. So kids act up and disturb our community. Uninformed public then consents to our planned absurdity. What? Replace our human rights.
Welcome back. Slavery. They print to the show that's all about commercial slavery. It's the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. And incidentally, the VinnieEastwoodShow.com. And if you want to have a look at some of our fabulous articles and videos that we've been producing, well, basically, you can go to this nice website anytime you like. Go to the search bar there and type in any subject you want, any name you want, topics, doesn't matter. Anything you can think of. You run a search on gorillamedia.co.nz and guaranteed you'll find a heck of a lot more than you expected. Like I searched, Christchurch being a man-made quake the other day, and there was like 6-7 pages of articles that referenced to it that we've posted on Gorilla Media all on our own. So, you know, it doesn't stop there. You know, we've got such a wide range of content. It's unbelievable. And we do count on your donations and subscriptions at the Vinnie Eastwood Show to keep doing what we're doing, going out with a camera for the last 3 years, covering public meetings, protests, interviewing activists, ambushing politicians, running the show here, making sure that we've got decent quality guests from you for all over the world. It is a full time job, and it pays like it pays worse than benefit payments, to be honest with you. But quite frankly, you can either be a dependent beneficiary or you can be a self-perpetuating slave. Well, we gotta get these. We're gonna get these false choices, don't we? So, yeah, we appreciate your donations and subscriptions for like $20 a month. You know, trust me, if you're trying to do it to get something out of it, like DVDs or whatever, I can assure you it's not worth it. But if you appreciate what we're doing here, trying to create an alternative media platform so that the activists and the people who go out there and spend all their hard-earned work, blood, sweat, and tears trying to expose the tyranny that's happening all over the world that we promote right here on the Vinnie Eastwood Show and GorillaMedia.co.nz. If you support us, you support all of the people that we bring on this show, and we bring on lots of different people, a lot of people which you've never heard of. And one of the great benefits of that is that if you get asked a question by somebody new to your website, you can then, instead of endlessly having to answer these same questions all the time, you can just put up a radio archive. And if people ask the question, you can direct them to the appropriate show. Okay? That's the service that I want to do for people here on this radio show. We turn them into YouTube videos and we upload them to the YouTube channel Mr. News Gorilla Media so that they're on two mediums of platforming, okay? Live radio, internet radio, and also with the archives, there's links in doing there, and of course, coming up on YouTube, and then, of course, being posted as a blog entry with links back to their website at gorillamedia.co.nz. Now, we do that all for the activists who have shown themselves to be worthy contributors to humanity. Who cares what the mainstream media has to say anymore? We don't. And we don't because they're no longer relevant. And then when the media no longer becomes relevant, it is then emburdened to you, basically, to make something that is relevant to people. And I can tell you that no matter what year or century or millennia it is, truth always is relevant. My guest here today is Phil Haynes from, what was it, thedayofkindness.com, .co.uk. Yeah. So, you know, we wanted to get back into, we were talking about the sales world and all of that kind of stuff. If you want to continue on about what you were talking about. There was some description of doorway with some flappy thing.
It wasn't so much to sell. Sorry. I think we were talking about the fact that the lack of effort that seems to be out there in some of the people nowadays. And the guy I was talking of was flopping around with a bit of rag to wash a car. And he's got muscles, but just not using any of them. And that was quite normal. And I said, come on, man, we've got to get this done. And there's just no drive whatsoever, just nothing. And, you're going back a few years ago now, so are the young people worse than that now? I don't know. I do meet a lot of good young people. The Dave Kindness has grown really well now. And in the last 2 years, it's been pretty big, and last year was very big. This year is going to be even bigger, and there's more going on. But in the first year of me doing it, as I said, it was just me. But on the run-up to the day, I was on the street giving out little leaflets to tell people it was coming. And three young guys come back to me after I give them a leaflet. And the one of them had, clearly very expensive gear on, a headset with something on and what have you. And I'm not a very big guy, I'm about 5'4", and he'd be getting on for, 6 foot-ish, and his two mates with him. Just left school, I would say. And so what's this all about, mate? What is it? I saw you in the paper. And, we got talking for a while. He's a bit cocky and what have you. And I said, well, at the time on the news, Niger was on the news, and there was a lot of people dying there, starvation, no food. And I just said to him, well, you've seen that on the news. I said, can I ask you where you live? And he told me where he lived. And I said, look, I don't want to know your personal life, but, he told me his parents had two cars, nice new cars, nice house, two holidays a year, blah, 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 blah. And I said to him, do you not think you're blessed compared to what you've seen on telly? And his mates were pushing him and going, he's right. And I said, look, I said, how long can you go on just being as you are, which is no real problem with, but being as you are and never thinking you should give something back somehow? And he nodded his head and walked off. About a minute later, they all come back. I said, mate, can we help you hand out some leaflets? I said, yeah, of course you can. And they helped me hand out leaflets for the next hour. And that was nice, that was. That felt good. That was really, that was the first year I ever did it, but that was the first, that was really a really nice thing to happen. And those kids got it. I do think, despite whatever you could say about the young guys now and the young girls, but they kind of do, they do get things quite quickly often. Whether they're going to do anything about it.
They're thirsty, this is the problem. You can either fill that thirst with Coca-Cola, which has a lot of sodium in it, so that doesn't quench their thirst at all, or you can try and quench their thirst with knowledge, which has a lot of questions to it, so that doesn't quench their thirst either. And it strikes an important point to me, is that as soon as you run out of your thirst for life, your life's over.
It is. And that's happened. It's kind of sad to say. We're talking about Day of Kindness, which is a happy thing, but it is kind of sad. I can walk through Bromsgrove, and a lot of sad faces, and a lot of people. We've said about, you've just said it's irrelevant. The media now is irrelevant, really, and it truly is, because what it's just doing to people is just, it's just completely wrecking them, really. I'm going to really push forward with this Day of Kindness and the new things I want to do. We've got to really make some sort of a difference and really go and do it. And what I will do, Vinny, I shall email you details of the things that happen over the next few weeks, because it's coming up on the 13th of October this year. And anything I do after that, I'll email you and give you details of it. And perhaps we can, couple something up in New Zealand as well, so we do something across states, if you like, and that'd be quite good. We've done it before with Germany, we've done it before with Romania. Perhaps we could get something going over your way and have something coupled up over here as well, because that might be good fun. Even if it's something small, it'd be good. Be good fun.
Well, I think it's like the thing about the New World Order is that they call it a New World Order for a reason, so it's everywhere. And that's right. There was a lot of inspiration that came out of a lot of activists in the UK going out with megaphones, making jokes and stuff like that, and showing a bit of the lighter side. Yeah. And, it looks to me as if you really have to be your own inspiration these days, don't you? If you're out there doing something, you feel inspired, and nobody else gave you the impetus to do it. You're the one who did it, and so the blame basically rests squarely on your shoulders should anything go wrong. And I suppose that the best thing to do is to take that responsibility for what it is, an opportunity.
It is. Absolutely. I mean, I've had, myself personally, when I first did the things I've been doing, people laughed and what have you. And, you know, for every once in a while, you might feel a bit silly, you know, but get over that. And once you get over that, it's water off a duck's back, really. You don't care what people are thinking about it. You just do it. And then it takes a while, but people start to then see a value in what you're doing. And I'm not somebody who wants to go out being admired, but you do get then a few nice comments from people that I like what you do. You know, kind of the words that are used here quite often, a fair play to you. You know, I wouldn't want to do that because, you know, I'd feel stupid. So, you know, fair play to you. So it's good. You know, you've got to go and do it.
Isn't that funny how the things that people like to see are the things that they refuse to do for fear of ridicule?
I know. What a shame. But the
opposite is actually true, as you just said, and I've seen it too. People choose not to go out and be active and do all this kind of stuff because they think that, oh, well, you know, it might not be worth it. What's the reception going to be like? Every single person that rolls past you is far more likely to say, good on you, mate, or to give you some form of encouragement than the people who might yell abuse at you or what have you. In fact, those people are fun because they make themselves look bad, and you can put them up on YouTube later on and put a propaganda hit piece on these people to demonise them.
There's always some fun to be had somewhere, isn't there?
Yeah. Hey, and if you're not having fun, why the hell are you still alive? Honestly.
What's the point?
Life is about fun and fun. Okay?
Of course it is.
Get out there and have some of it because it's yours for the freaking taking. Nobody else can steal your fun away from you. But you can. You can steal it away from yourself really awesome by getting in your own way and refusing to participate and stopping making new friends and all of that kind of stuff. And we'll see you again sometime, ladies and gentlemen.